thank you all for staying, and this will be a nice intimate session. I can see everyone's faces and smiles. So before I begin, I just want to acknowledge my collaborators on this project, Yue Liao, Rachel Grana, Renee LaGuar, and Trina Robertson. And I just want to disclose a financial relationship. I served as a consultant for the Dairy Council of California on this project. So as we all know, the problem of childhood obesity has now reached epidemic proportions and has become a major public health concern. And to address this need, we need to develop programs and policies and interventions to promote healthy weight-related behaviors. And more schools are thought to be a critical setting for obesity prevention. And that's for a couple reasons. One, we know children spend a lot of their time at school. And two, the school environment is thought to provide an opportunity for more direct control in terms of programs and policies than possibly other environments, the home environment in particular. And there are a number of benefits to curriculum-based strategies. They can be easily incorporated into the school day. They can be designed to address educational standards, and so then they're in a sense killing two birds with one stone. They require little additional cost and time, particularly on behalf of the families and parents. So they're low burden in that way, and often it can be delivered at low cost for the school and the administration and teachers as well. And a recent review examined the success rate of curriculum-based obesity prevention programs, and it found that 88% of the studies were indeed effective at changing nutrition outcomes, which is a good thing. However, what I want to point out today and focus my presentation around is that these types of evaluations have limitations. And what they do is they typically focus only on the efficacy and effectiveness of obesity prevention programs in the school setting. And by that I mean looking at the extent to which they change behavior or obesity or BMI, other types of outcomes, which is important. I want to explain that, and my argument is that it's only one piece of the larger picture, and that these evaluations don't often consider the overall public health impact of the program or its potential for dissemination, which takes into account the number of people it reached or could reach and the extent to which it can be delivered with ease or at a low cost. So an intervention could have a moderate to large effect size, changing behavior or other obesity outcomes, but it might only have been delivered to a small number of people and is very cost or time intensive. And we don't look at the latter two types of criteria typically. And as compared to a program that might have a smaller effect size, moderate maybe, but have the potential to be widely disseminated or delivered to a large number of people and with ease. And that may have equal or more public health impact. So we're going to focus on all of these criteria. And the REAIM model offers a useful framework for examining the overall public health impact of interventions and their dissemination potential. And it's based on five components, and the five components create the acronym REAIM. We have REACH, which is the proportion of the target population that was reached or that participated. So if that target population, for example, is all children in elementary school in the United States, if the program ideally would be targeting that, you want to know what proportion of all children in the United States did actually receive this program. So the denominator can be quite large in this case. I'm talking about the proportion. Second is efficacy, or effectiveness, that's the success rate or effect size and change and primary outcomes. That's what we typically look at. So the second one is the standard way we evaluate programs typically. Adoption is similar to REACH, but it's focusing on the target settings instead of individuals, the proportion of settings that are reached or that adopted the program. So these could be schools, proportion of target schools that actually adopted the program, workplaces, hospitals, so it's at the setting level. And the fourth component is implementation, so the extent to which the program was implemented as it was intended to. And as we move towards dissemination, we have to let go of, as researchers or programmers, often the control that it's delivered by teachers or delivered by individuals at the setting versus delivered by program designers or researchers. So we want to make sure there's fidelity to the intervention. And last one is maintenance, and that's often not considered in most evaluations, to the extent to which the program is sustained over a longer period of time. So today I'm going to present results of an evaluation where we use the REAIM framework to evaluate a program called Shaping Up My Choices, or SMC. It was developed by the Dairy Council of California. It was a new program that was developed and released just in the past school year, so 2010-2011. It's delivered through the teachers. It's a curriculum for third graders. It involves a teacher guide, a student workbook, and family homework. It's free of charge to California teachers. The Dairy Council of California develops it and offers it free of charge. The teachers can order the materials online, by phone or by mail, and obviously it's implemented in the classrooms by the teachers. And we evaluated the statewide dissemination of this program last year, 2010-2011, to evaluate and assess reach, adoption, and maintenance. We use the Dairy Council of California's database of statewide orders. They maintain a very detailed database of the number of orders that are going out of the curriculum and to whom they're going. Efficacy, to assess that, we used a classic randomized control trial design with pre-post and then a three-month follow-up assessment. And to assess implementation, we used teacher surveys as well as classroom observations. I'm going to talk more about those. And our sample, we sampled 25 schools across the state of California. These we sampled from among schools that were already ordering the program. So it's a statewide dissemination, and we selected 25 schools, half in Northern California, half in Southern California. They were selected to represent the demographic and socioeconomic profile of California residents. And in each school, we had selected two-thirds of the classrooms that were already delivering the intervention to participate in the evaluation of it. And one of those classrooms in each of the schools, we randomized to the intervention group that taught the curriculum in the fall, and one we randomized to the control group, which was delayed delivery control. And three of the schools, both of the classrooms participated in the intervention. They weren't willing to be randomized. And so we had 28 intervention and 22 control classrooms. The measures to measure efficacy, we had student pre, post, and follow-up surveys, and they measured dietary intake. We used the SPAN instruments, the food frequency, one-day recall instrument. We measured nutrition knowledge. We assessed knowledge of which foods belong to which food groups, what are the main nutrients in food, what are the functions of those nutrients, and how to choose and create balanced meals. We had a measure of nutritional outcome expectancies, outcomes expected, such as I think that I'll build strong muscles if I eat more meat. And we also measured self-efficacy for healthy eating. And also our other measures included a teacher survey, and this asked the teachers how many lessons that they did indeed teach, their satisfaction with those lessons, and how much interest they perceived on behalf of students. And we did classroom observations as well, where our trained research staff went out to the classrooms, observed the extent to which they were adhering to the teacher guidebook and lessons plans and conveying accurate information. So this covers the implementation component of the REAIM. And we had 24 of the 28 classrooms, which we were able to observe four lessons each for a total of 96 observations. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to present the results according to each of the five components of the REAIM model. So the first is reach, the proportion of target individuals that were reached. And our target population was all third grade students in public schools in California. And we reached 195,000, this is the last school year. And that represents 42% of third graders in public schools in California. So it's pretty broad reach. This program has been widely disseminated. The Dairy Council of California is a very prominent player in school-based curriculum in California. So it has broad reach. And in terms of efficacy, the graphs here show the results for outcome expectancies and self-efficacy, and we can see that there was significant differences and improvements in both of the outcomes for the intervention, which is in red, as compared to the control, particularly between pre and post. And then we see at the follow-up that there was a little bit of a decline, particularly in self-efficacy and a little bit in outcome expectancies, but there's still a significant difference between them, even at the three-month follow-up, so 3 months after the end of the program. We are also examining the efficacy of the program. We had similar trends and patterns in the four domains of knowledge, where there was an increase from pre to post, and then either a slight decrease or a maintenance to follow up. And then examining the dietary intake, we looked at kind of key food groups, food types. So we can see here that we have pre-post and follow-up means. And what we found was that the consumption of vegetables was maintained in the intervention group between pre and post and decreased in the control group between pre and post. That was a marginal difference. And fruit juice, we saw that there was a slight increase in the intervention group between pre and follow-up, where there was a decrease between pre and the follow-up, which resulted here in a significant group time difference. And then no changes and no group differences in diet and dairy intake. Junk food decreased significantly from pre to post in the intervention group. And there was essentially no change in the consumption of junk foods in the control group, which resulted in that significant coefficient. Moving on to the third component of the REAIM is the adoption. So this is similar to REACH, but it's focusing at the setting level instead of the individual level. And we this is using the database of orders from the Dairy Council. 47% of third grade teachers in California did order this program last year. You can see the numbers, the numerator and denominator. And the 43% of these orders were new, that they were teachers that hadn't ordered any Dairy Council materials, California materials before. The Dairy Council has been providing and disseminating materials for years in California, and this was a new program they developed in the past year. And implementation, what we found from the teacher surveys was that of the teachers in the intervention and in the evaluation, 100% reported implementing all 8 of the lessons. We just have a sample of all the teachers that did deliver the program. We just have the 28 classrooms, but there was good implementation in those in the evaluation. Now, how much they represent the overall population, that needs to be considered. And we, from the teacher, the classroom observations, we found that teachers were closely following the lessons plans in 70 to 80% of those observations, and in 75% of the observations, the teachers did present the information, and they were rated as it was completely accurate. So there was pretty good accuracy. We need to keep an eye on these things, because when you have the teachers delivering the program instead of the program designers, then you're letting go of that level of control. But it's important. It makes it more feasible for dissemination. And the last component is maintenance. And as I mentioned, this was a new program, so it's difficult for us to really look at maintenance over time. But what we tried to do was to take a proxy approach and look back at the database at how many teachers in third grade teachers in California had ordered Dairy Council materials over the past 5 years. And so there was other programs that were out there before this. We did see that over 18,000 teachers over the past 5 years and third grade had ordered materials. So that suggests that there's at least maintenance of the Dairy Council curriculum over the past 5 years. And this resulted in a total of over 600,000 workbooks. That's a proxy for how many children were reached over the past 5 years using any curriculum from the Dairy Council of California. And then what we did was to look at maintenance of the specific Shaping Up My Choices curriculum. We were able to look just this fall, over the past 2 months, at how many teachers that had ordered the materials last year reordered them this year in 2011-2012 school year. We found that 56% of the teachers that did order last year did reorder. So it suggests there's reasonable maintenance of the program over 2 years. Now we would want to follow that further. And so just a few limitations to this research. We did have a child report of dietary intake. They're third graders. They're fairly young. They might have recall issues or social desirability. They know that eating more fruits and vegetables is better. So, but we did, that would have hopefully been equally an issue in both the control and intervention groups. And through the randomized design, hopefully we addressed that. And we only had 1 day of dietary intake, and I'm sure there's plenty of nutritionists in the room, and we know that might not be representative. It's just food frequency, so obviously multiple 24-hour recalls would be a better approach. We don't know if that 1 day was did not represent their overall dietary intake patterns. And that I mentioned, this was a new program this past school year, and so we really can't look at long-term maintenance yet. We just have 1 year to look at right now. And in terms of conclusions, what we found was that the Shaping Up My Choices program did show potential for moderate to high public health impact. It had moderate efficacy, but it had such a wide reach and can be delivered free of charge. And so those in combination could increase its public health impact over a program that had very high levels of effect size, but only reaches a small number of students. But we really, there's still a lack of research that evaluates these large-scale dissemination of school-based obesity prevention programs. And so future research should try to apply the REAIN model across a wider range of school-based programs and populations. Thank you. I'm happy to take questions.
Mm-hmm. How are you planning to edit your measurement tool for next year, or do you have any ways to maybe deal with that?
We struggled so much. So we wanted to start with a tool that had established reliability and validity, and that's why we chose the SPAN instrument, which was developed in Texas and used for a statewide surveillance down there. And it did show reasonable reliability, at least test-retest, and validity with a fourth, fifth, and sixth graders, I believe, and we were applying it to third graders, so it was a little bit of a stretch. We've had a lot of discussions about doing multiple 24-hour recalls. Obviously, we had in this sample 25 schools and almost 1,000 students, so we really couldn't afford that. So that's, you know, this comes into the cost of an evaluation versus the outcome. So there are better measures out there, just the trade-off between the costs. SPAN, I can go back here, you can see it. The other reference, here we go. School Physical Activity and Nutrition Questionnaire, if you're interested. And I have a copy of it. If you want to come up afterward, I can show you what it looks like. I have all these measures we have. I can show you. Happy to share. Other questions? All righty. Well, thank you very much, and I'll hand over the podium.